Hello, hello, and welcome to another In Practopia, that People, Places, Things Caribbean show. I am your host, Kim Jean. Today we have a show all about science. Our feature guest is Dr. Cardinal Ward. He is a patent-holding scientist and professor at MIT, and he is talking about the Caribbean Science Foundation and their work with science students in the region. We also have a segment called Did You Know? Caribbean Scientists, people who have and who are making a contribution to the field of science, and they're all from the Caribbean. Whoopee! And of course, we'll end the show with our Ode to the Caribbean quote, another good one for you. So stick around for all of that. Before we begin, we'll just have some housekeeping issues that I want you to remember and to help In Practopia on its great journey. You can find us definitely on Twitter at In Practopia and Facebook, www.facebook.com/InPractopia. So continue to like us and follow us and spread the good word about In Practopia and the great impact, the great contribution it's making towards the conversation about the Caribbean. Also, you can listen to the show and watch the videos on the website at www.inpractopia.com, and we invite you to keep visiting the website. We're getting some great hits. That's good for us. Also, you can listen, download, and subscribe to In Practopia on iTunes, on SoundCloud, and now we are on Stitcher Radio. So please, any one of those venues, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud, you can access the show. And please make comments, write reviews, because it's good for us. It's good for In Practopia. Everybody wins. Lastly, I would like to remind you of our giveaway, that great all-purpose tote. It's on the website. Very easy. Go to inpractopia.com, iron that, fill out the form, send it in. The deadline is on September 11th. So keep them coming, and we look forward to announce a winner shortly after September 11th. I've just given you some homework, so now let's get the show on the road. Time now for Did You Know? Caribbean Scientists. First up, Dr. Stephen Bennett, veterinarian from Trinidad and Tobago. In the early 1960s, he developed a disease-resistant breed of water buffalo named the Buffalipso. Its thick skin withstands parasites, and it produces high-quality beef and milk. This breed has been introduced to countries including Argentina, Brazil, Costa Rica, Cuba, America, and Italy. Next, we have Dr. Orlando Ventura, virologist from Jamaica. He researched the natural history of viruses in the Caribbean, like dengue, and those causing encephalitis infections. He also studied the role of birds and their external parasites in spreading viruses. He discovered 6 new species of bird mites and developed tissue culture methods for virus detection. And lastly, Diane Claridge, marine biologist from the Bahamas. She is an expert on beaked whales, not an easy task because they dive to great depths for long intervals. Ms. Claridge took the first ever photo identification study of Blainville's beaked whales, allowing scientists to learn about the lives and ecology of these creatures by following individual animals for over a decade. I really hope you enjoyed that. You know, doing the research, learning new things about the Caribbean excites me to no end, and it gives me a joy just doing this and wanting to share the Caribbean on so many different levels with you. I hope that you learn as well as I do all the good things that the Caribbean has to offer by way of its most valuable resource, its people. And now, my interview with Dr. Cardinal Ward, renowned patent-holding scientist and professor at MIT. You grew up in Barbados a few years ago. You know, you're just a young man in the world.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm assuming that growing up in Barbados, you know, in primary school,
give me a sense of what the sciences were back then and what really got you interested that you're this wonderful, great Dr. Cardinal Ward today.
Well, I'm not sure how great I am, but what got me interested was my chemistry teacher in high school. That's, well, in elementary school, I always liked arithmetic, and it turned out I was pretty good at that. And but in high school, it was my chemistry teacher who took an active interest in me, and she was a great teacher and inspired me a lot to do better. I sat in the front of her class, bushy tail and googly eye, looking at her and absorbing everything she was saying. And I have to say that my physics teacher was also a woman, so I was very inspired by the women in my life, including my mother and these two teachers. And my brain seemed to be wired up to do mathematics and chemistry and physics, and so those were the subjects I did best in, and of course mathematics. So I left my first high school because my chemistry teacher said, "You've outgrown the school. Go to the top school in Barbados at the time, which I think it still is, Harrison College, and do your A levels there." So she helped me to find all the forms, fill them out, and I applied and was able to transfer to Harrison College, and there I did my A levels at the time. Now the students do CXC and CAPE in the region. So my point here is that I think teachers are important. In my particular case, there was one teacher who took a really active interest in me, and I think that was a turning point in my life. Leaving one school and going to the other was the first turning point. And then, of course, there was another turning point in my life where I met was a graduate student at Harvard at the time who was in Barbados, he and his wife, doing field work in anthropology. His name is John Herzog, his wife's name is Dorothy. And they also took an interest in me and inquired as to what I was going to do after I finish high school. And I basically said I'd probably apply to UWE and maybe go there and do a bachelor's degree. And they asked, "Have I ever considered going to the United States?" I said, "No, couldn't afford that." But anyway, they went back to the United States. He was a grad student at Harvard in anthropology, but he was doing field work for his PhD in Barbados. I ended up helping him take data for his PhD thesis because he was interviewing students in my high school, and so I conducted some of the interviews for him. But anyway, they went back to the United States and sent me application forms for a whole bunch of undergraduate schools in the United States. And so I applied. And I got financial aid from one of them, Stevens Institute of Technology, so it was pretty easy. That's where I was going, because the others didn't either give me as much aid or no aid at all. And so I left Barbados, came over to the United States, and did a bachelor's in physics at Stevens. And then I did pretty well there, left there, went to Yale, did a master's and PhD also in physics. But I had left home to do electrical engineering, and I couldn't get myself to give up physics, so I stayed in physics for all my degrees. And then I was finished my PhD in physics. I decided I had to find a job, so I wrote a whole bunch of Ivy League schools, including MIT, and told them all the things I had discovered and what I had done for my thesis. And MIT said, "Come up and give, have an interview." And I said, "Yes." So I got in my car, drove from New Haven to Cambridge, Massachusetts. Had my job talk, and apparently they liked what I had to say, so they offered me a job. So the moral of the story is I only got one job offer, and I took it, and I've been there ever since.
Well, that was the right one job and one job offer that you needed.
I guess Jupiter aligned with Mars, and I'm a very lucky and blessed
And you know,
man.
one of the things that I picked up on what you said is the importance of building relationships, creating a good impression, one that lasts. People don't forget you, and then you were able to pay it forward. So I also read that you haven't forgotten Barbados, and I think overall you haven't forgotten the Caribbean, and you wanting to give back to the Caribbean through what you do best.
Correct. Well, I look back at my life and I saw all these people who helped me along the way. you know, certainly my parents were very supportive. I just mentioned two people in particular, actually three, John and his wife and my chemistry teacher, who were in my life. And I feel that I have a big debt to the Caribbean. And if I could have one youngster achieve more than I have achieved by helping that youngster in the way that others have helped me, I would feel that my life was actually worthwhile. So in my old age, I'm willing to sacrifice and give back to help youngsters there achieve. But the greater good also is help the region economically, because I see that the region, by and large, especially the countries that rely on tourism for foreign exchange, are in debt. And I was fortunate enough to have started two companies here in the U.S. And so I know a little bit about entrepreneurship. I know a little bit about starting up companies and how they work and how to create products and how to get them marketed. And these are skills I picked up along the way. And I figure that if I can help also by helping to increase the awareness of youngsters about entrepreneurship and getting them interested, perhaps one of them will go up there and start the next Google somewhere in the Caribbean, because one Google could supply all the able-bodied people in St. Lucia with jobs. And I see that as being very possible, especially in the area of information and communication technologies, where the playing field is fairly level. So my pet projects right now, which I'm doing through the Caribbean Science Foundation, my pet projects are to help inspire youngsters and empower them to think outside the box, to think big, and to go off and perhaps form the next quote-unquote Google.
Yeah.
It may not be an ICT, might be another field, but that's okay. Because it is possible, I really truly believe.
I believe that too, and that's why I started in Impractopia. So if we can get Caribbean people talking to each other about each other, whether you live in the region or not, and you want to, and there are avenues that you can help contribute to the development of the region, it's totally possible. Because I believe our people are capable, we have the talent, we have the energy. A lot of us just need that access to be able to engage what our hidden talents are and what we can do to contribute and, you know, make, yeah, like you said, the next Google or something else that really does lift the entire region.
Agree. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said access, because for a lot of us, that's what it is. I was able to have access because of the people who intervened in my life and encouraged me to come to the United States. I had access to the best laboratories. I had access to movers and shakers. I rubbed shoulders with other students and professionals who were doing things. And it becomes infectious and contagious that if you're in an environment where people are starting companies, you probably will start one too. And that's what happened. At MIT, a lot of my fellow professors either started companies, owned companies, worked for companies. And so I became curious as to how do they do this? Had I stayed in Barbados, that curiosity probably would not have peaked. But, you know, we need, you know, I did not go back to the region to start a company there. And the kind of work that I was doing at the time, it wasn't feasible to do that. But I think for some of the youngsters now, if they can indeed either stay in the region and have the access, or leave the region to get the access, get the experience, and then bring some of it back, I think it would be great. And if they can't come back like I did, they should help from afar.
Yes.
Because I think there's a lot of ways that we can make a contribution. And not all of us might come back or be able to come back, depending on the disciplines.
I totally agree. So the SPICE program is an annual program that's held in July for 2 weeks? 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. Talk a little about the application and selection process.
Okay, so SPICE stands for Student Program for Innovation in Science and Engineering. This is a program that I copied from MIT. At MIT, we have a program called MITES, M-I-T-E-S. Your viewers can Google that. You go web.mit.edu/MITES. And that's a six-week program at MIT where we bring students from all over the United States, but it's only open to American citizens. And we teach them a lot of the basic sciences, but at the university level. So there are two levels, there are three levels of calculus, there are three levels of physics, there's biochemistry, biology, and chemistry. They have to choose between one of those three. And then there's robotics, electronics, computer science, you know, architecture, and genomics. But the students don't have to do all those. They have choices. So when we started the Caribbean Science Foundation, and the Caribbean Science Foundation was started by a bunch of us who live outside the Caribbean in the diaspora, who were concerned that not the governments weren't able to or were not doing enough to use science and technology as a tool for economic development. We decided to start the Caribbean Science Foundation and try to work with the people, not with the governments necessarily, to empower the people to make change. So when we started the Caribbean Science Foundation, one of the things I decided was that I'll copy this MIT program, change the name, so it's called SPICE, and put it in the Caribbean somewhere. And it turns out that the Caribbean Science Foundation actually started in Trinidad because the then Prime Minister, Patrick Manning, believed in what we were trying to do and gave us some initial funding. And then the government of Barbados provided space. So it's on the UWI campus in Barbados. That's where our home is. So we started the SPICE program, and the SPICE program is only 4 weeks long, because we just didn't have the resources to make it 6 weeks long like the MIT program. There are things we do at MIT that we couldn't do in the region. So we don't have genomics, we don't have architecture. But we do have entrepreneurship in the program, in the SPICE program. So the subjects are pretty similar. There's biochemistry, there's calculus, there's physics, there's entrepreneurship, there's robotics, there's electronics. And there is the computer science is built into the robotics right now. And we teach Mandarin as well, which we do in the program at MIT. We figure that entrepreneurs of the future, including those in the Caribbean, are going to have to do business with the Chinese. And all we're trying to do is to break the fear of the language. But the kids are so smart that in 4 weeks, they're able to put on plays and skits in Mandarin. So the selection process, the kids do not apply through their schools. They apply on their own. They get letters of recommendation from their principal, guidance counselor, and from a mathematics teacher and a science teacher. And it's really hard to get in now because this program, I hate to use it, but it's kind of elitist. It is catering to the brightest students in the Caribbean. And we tell the students on the website, you know, it's not for the average student, because a lot of students say, well, this is the summer, you know, I've been in school all year, why should I go and take another physics class in the summer, you know, I need some time off. So this is for the hardcore who are really, really interested in pursuing careers in science and engineering, and who've got that passion and fire in their belly, and who indeed want to go to the best schools in the Caribbean and don't mind giving up a summer to get some help, because, you know, once they get in, and we help them with their application forms to universities. We actually read their essays and give them feedback on the essays. A lot of schools now require that you write essays. We try to have them fill out as best they can application forms for financial aid at the best universities. And by and large, they've been getting in. As a track record, if you use MIT as a standard, because that's the university I know best, typically 1 in 50 foreign students will gain admission to MIT, 1 in 50. And this past year, 6 of our students applied, and 3 got in. So we know what the schools are looking for, and so we can give them the kind of guidance, and MIT gets involved. I mean, admissions officer from MIT calls in to Barbados during the program and tells the students about application materials and how to apply and what United States universities are looking for. They don't care whether they come to MIT or not. This is a favor to me. And this year the guy says he's coming down in person to do this, offer this service. And we go beyond that. The students now, in the summer, most Caribbean students do nothing. So we have been finding internships for the SPICE graduates, so that they can get immersed for yet another summer in science and technology within a company. And so this year, three of the students are doing internships. We had more, but some of the internships mm-hmm. were in the United States, and we couldn't get this process for the students this year. So we'll yeah. work that out next year, so we can see even more. But the long-term goal is to get these students to stay in science and engineering, because these students can go into law, they can go into medicine, they can go into accounting, they can go into music, they can go to whatever they want, they're so bright. But I tell them that the Caribbean needs them to stay in science and engineering because scientists and engineers will create more jobs for our people than doctors and lawyers will. And scientists and engineers, if they're interested in money, can make more money yes. than doctors make, because if you start a company, you're making money while you're sleeping. And you're not paid by the hour, by the number of patients you see, or the number of clients who walk through the door. So I try to change that thinking, because most of our parents in the region and our teachers and guidance counselors steer people into medicine and law and so on. And those mm-hmm. are very good fields. But we need to get as many into science and engineering as possible, because I think they're the ones who are more likely to build up our foreign exchange in the region and help get us out of debt. And so this is why the SPICE program focuses on this quote-unquote mm-hmm. group. So this is not, you know, we're a tiny organization. We only have really two paid people on our staff. All the rest are volunteers. And so we often get criticized. Oh, you're not focusing on the masses, and you're not trying to help our youngsters who are in, you know, early childhood or in elementary school. And that's true. We are not a ministry of education, and we don't feel that we have to help everyone. We've picked a sweet spot where I know how to teach high school students. I know how to teach, I know even better how to teach university students. I've never taught kindergarten. I've never taught early childhood. I don't know how to do that. I'd probably be lousy at it. So we picked a segment of the population that's easy for us and that we think have the best chance of giving us a quick return on our investment. But anyway, to bolster that, what we've done is we've joined forces with Sagicor, the largest insurance mm-hmm. company in the region. There we do service now large numbers of students who are like from 10 years old up through the Sagicor Visionaries Challenge. It's a competitive challenge where the students form teams mm-hmm. in their school, and the teams work on problems that affect their school or their community, and they enter competition. So the schools in St. Lucia would all compete against one another for the national championship for St. Lucia. The schools in Jamaica, the same thing, and schools in Barbados. And this gets a lot of kids interested in science and engineering. So the answer is, yeah, we have the elite group, but we're also trying to help the larger masses. And these students in the Sagicor Visionaries, if they can spell the word science, that's good enough for us. We work with them. We provide mentors. There's a teacher all overseeing each group. We provide mentors, we provide the judges for the competition, we provide most of the intellectual content for it. Sagicor provides a lot of infrastructure and support, as well, of course, all the money. And it's because of the generosity of Doddridge Miller, the CEO of Sagicor, who is on our board on the Caribbean Science Foundation board. This is basically one of his pet projects and his major contribution to the CSF mm-hmm. that we're able to do this. Always praise Sagicor, because it's very difficult to find another company in the region that would do this kind of thing. So
yeah.
That's awesome.
Especially now everybody's talking about how, you know, the economies are so tight, things are being dropped, nothing's, you know, everything is stagnant. And you're right. You need to focus on a group of people who can contribute as soon as possible. Because if we keep going down that road, then we'll be nothing. The Caribbean will be nothing.
So we're hoping other entities will step mm-hmm. up to the plate and help fill up some of the void that we've left behind. But it's really, you know, theoretically, it's really the job of the ministries of education to be doing all these things. If we had, if the world were perfect, we wouldn't need SPICE at all. Our students would be competitive with all of the others across the globe. And by and large, our brightest students are more than competitive as far as I'm concerned. I see students coming to MIT from all over the world, you know, and our brightest students are as bright as students anywhere. They may not be as confident. They may not have access to all the resources in their high school that they went to, they may not have the perspective, you know, of the American student in terms, and they may not have the advice and the guidance, just because our teachers and our principals and some of our guidance counselors in the regions may not have that exposure to what's out there for, you know, careers in science and engineering and technology. But SPICE gives them that. We bring in role models from of Caribbean people from the diaspora to talk to the students. We also bring in role models who are not from the Caribbean, who've done well in science and technology, just to give the students a perspective. We don't have to, you know, SPICE, we don't have to be accountable to an examination board or to a government or to anyone. So we teach in a very different way from the way that they're taught in high school. First of all, grades are not emphasized. Understanding the fundamentals of the sciences, and even in the, I didn't tell you, we have a course on Caribbean unity as well, which I forgot to mention. But because there isn't any in the Caribbean, so we talk about it, we have the students.
You and I are thinking the same way about this Caribbean unity thing, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah. But yeah, emphasizing the understanding the fundamentals in whatever they're doing is important. And that's what we focus on. And a lot of our tests and quizzes focus on the students understanding the fundamentals and not having a huge memory where they have to memorize everything, just regurgitate it back to us. That's not learning. So we tell them, you're not competing for an A or B. You're not competing against your fellow student. You're competing against yourself, because we judge you by how much you improved during the 4 weeks of the program. So if you come in knowing a lot of calculus, our teachers are armed with a whole bunch of extra problems that we can give the students who are doing exceptionally well, you know, to do and challenge them, because we don't want to waste the sponsors' money. We don't want to waste our time or the students' time. Every student must be challenged just above their comfort level. That's the mantra that we go by. And so we get to know each student individually. We see what their strengths and their weaknesses are, and they get help 24/7, because we have teaching assistants living in the dorms with the student, who are not only chaperones, but they also help them, you know, with their homework and so on. So it's not a program where you can fail. For those students who are worried out there, you can't fail. You fail only if you don't improve, because no matter what level you're at, we'll work with you to get you to improve and learn a lot more than you already learned.
I really want to thank Dr. Ward for talking with me. He was so modest about his own accomplishments, but really, really wanted to emphasize the work of the Caribbean Science Foundation and what they're doing to encourage young science students and to instill that sense of entrepreneurship and what they can do in their fields when they graduate from college. The Caribbean Science Foundation is a worthy cause. I donated and helped them to get students into the program this year. But it's not too early or too late to help out if you would like to. The Caribbean Science Foundation at www.caribbeanscience.org. Visit them. It's a worthy organization, a worthy foundation to help out, because it really does build and give Caribbean students the support that they need to pursue the field that they believe in. And who knows, the next Google just might come from the Caribbean. So do it, do it, do it. Just before we wrap up, we have our Ode to the Caribbean quote. And this one comes from Said Musa, former Prime Minister of Belize. And he says, "Let us work toward greater cooperation with all Caribbean countries, whether we speak English, Dutch, French, or Spanish, whether we are independent or not, and whether we be island or continental territories." Well said, Prime Minister. I agree completely. Next week, we have Paul Shepherd, and we will be talking all about bees. And don't forget to follow us, like us, and please write comments on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher Radio. And I'll see you next time right here in Practopia.